Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know.
Hello.
Howdy. There are so many people at the table today. It is amazing.
Well, so many, slash not that
socially
many.
Distanced. It's a big table, but
it's a big table. If you haven't already guessed, it's me, KB. I'm your host for this episode, and I am joined by Julie Eisentrager.
Hello.
Hi, Julie.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, look at that.
You got a really nice haircut.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is great radio.
Yeah. You guys can't visually see it.
We're not going to describe it either, but no, know that it's good.
You're going to have to detective your way through this.
Just imagine what you think Julie would look like if she had good hair. And we'll work from there.
How offensive.
That familiar voice is our good friend Patrick Aiken, who hasn't been on the show for quite a while, actually.
I couldn't tell you how long it's been. It's probably been at least a year.
At least a year. Which is crazy, because for a time
learned your lesson, but you've got me back, so
happy to have you.
I think
I'm like
missed
black
you.
Mold. I just won't go away.
No, we like it that way. Never leave us.
No, it's a pleasure to be back.
It's nice to have you back. And look, you have been here so many times that we don't need to do the Getting to Know You quiz.
No.
We don't need to cast you in some dream roles.
No one does. No one ever casts me in dream roles, so that's all right.
I mean, we just did off air.
We did.
We cast.
But we can't tell anyone because it's a secret project that
it's a secret project that we're working on.
That you will find out in due course. Yeah. But it is your chance again to cast the people at this table, producer Zane included. Yeah. In the show that you've brought us today, which is Reefer Madness, which I'm very surprised we haven't already talked about, to be honest.
I'm not hugely surprised we haven't talked about it.
It's weird because it is one of those shows that everyone seems to be aware of.
Yeah.
But when you talk about it, I mean, there was a Brisbane production a couple of years ago, I believe, but most people are aware of it, might have seen one of the films, but it's not like an everyone's seen it kind of thing.
No, but those who have seen it really like it. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it, but we'll talk about that.
But
I'll cast you. Okay, this is a bit interesting because we haven't introduced the characters, but just as a quick roundtable, I'm going to say that Zane, you love being typecast, is, of course, the flexible narrator role.
Yes.
Who jumps in as multiple different characters.
I like it.
We'll probably get into it, but this is actually one of my favourite tropes in theatre there is a narrator who pops up as random characters throughout the show as different characters and just keeps jumping in.
I also enjoy it.
It always makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It's always a fun little reveal gag. There'll be a crowd and then all of a sudden out of the crowd, your narrator just walks out and you're like, he's back. It's great.
Because it's not hilarious, but your brain's like, ha! Okay.
So Zane, you will be the sort of, you know, fearmonger / FDR / everyone else. Great role. You'll love it. And it's typecasting, but you're good at it. So that's what we do. KB, I'm going to make you Mary Lane.
How did I know that was coming?
Well, I mean, I just sense that maybe we should stretch you a little bit and give you a character that, while she's teenage, has a bit of childlike wonder about her and maybe a little bit of gentle naivete.
So different to what I always play. To be fair, I am in a gingham dress with puffy sleeves.
You
today,
are. Like,
so.
you're in on the bit. Yeah, you do get a very sexy
scene.
Oh,
that's true. I forgot about
her
that.
Laps. If Miranda was here, I would get her to play, of course,
but she's
her
not,
typecast
so.
Role of drunk mother.
Yeah.
There is a drunk mother archetype in this show.
Classic.
But Julie, I won't give you that. I think you're May. I think you're definitely May.
And if I'd watched this show, I would know if that's a compliment or an
insult. So May is the sort of young, oversexed drug addict in the drug den who has a couple of good songs. She has some really good songs. Does a lot of physical comedy.
It does check out.
And I think it would do well. And she's blonde.
Blonde and oversexed.
Oh, and yeah, she does. In the film, she sets her baby on fire.
Oh, yeah! That's fun.
It is fun. It's funny. It's an oddly funny bit, and you're like, I shouldn't find this funny.
Yeah,
we'll get into that. But the film is very good at selling jokes that you shouldn't find funny.
I feel like that is what this show is about.
It's a barrier of this show, I think, as well. But we can get into it later. Why don't we get into it now?
Right now?
Right now?
Let's do it.
I mean, you're the host.
No, I think you've got this, Patrick. Go for it.
I don't know.
Tell Zane to press the button.
Zane, could you please hit the buttons? I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're scary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Been a while since you've been on the show, Patrick, and we've changed our format just slightly.
Oh.
And we're going to throw you under the bus for this one.
I don't like that. I know. Okay. What is it?
And here is the 4-hour episode on Reefer Madness.
Oh, boy.
You have 2 minutes to give us the elevator pitch of the plot of Reefer Madness. Like, if you were pitching this to producers and they were like, "What's it about?"
So I'm just telling you the plot.
In 2 minutes.
Great. Okay.
In 2 minutes. Ready?
There's a timer.
I'm gonna forget the character names, but we'll just say people. It'll be great.
Steady go.
Okay, so there is a young boy called Billy and a young girl called Mary Lane, and they're very sweet. They're very naive, and they're in a relationship in an old American town in the 30s, I suppose, is when it's set. And I suppose, actually, cutting to that exists outside, because at the start it opens with all of these parents going to a school hall meeting where a mysterious man is there to show them a film to warn them about the dangers of marijuana coming into their community and poisoning their youth.
We love
and leading
man.
To sex, violence, murder. The film that he then plays involves Billy and Mary Lane, who are a young, sweet couple who both get, over the course of the musical, drawn into a drug den. And it's a very inefficient drug den. We should talk about that later. But basically, this drug den is operated by, we'll just call them a man and a woman because I'm forgetting their names at the moment, but who are basically plying the town's children with marijuana and turning them to violent sex fiends. Oh. And it's about the moral quandaries and how these people lose themselves over the course of the musical and then trying to save themselves from this drug den. But of course, it's all very tongue-in-cheek because it's based on a film that takes the subject matter very seriously.
Yes.
Whereas this musical doesn't take it as seriously as that film did. But I feel like that's kind of it.
Oh,
it's very complex and fun along the way. But the core idea is how do these teenagers in this sweet little town escape the menace of marijuana?
Oh no,
I like
not
it with
the marijuana.
In the film, that's how they spell it. It's great. In
oh,
the
yes.
original, it's spelled marijuana.
I did see that. I had questions. You've
explained. Well, they're trying to highlight it in the film whenever it's on screen. So they write it in this big cursive font, but it just makes it look a bit fun. Like, compared to the rest of the text, like, oh, hello. What's that? Yeah, it's
a bit, I could go a bit of it.
And like I actually hadn't seen this musical at all before I'd agreed to come on the show and talk about it, because it's fun when you don't know and you just come in blind. But in the original film, where was I going with this marijuana? It's really bizarre. That's what it is. It opens basically with a short monologue and video supplying imagery of actually how to prepare. How to dry, prepare, and then roll joints.
So instructions.
And it's very instructional, and it's meant to be like, this is what your children will do. This is what's being done in every town in America. But you're watching it and you're like, that just taught me how to do at least the basic setup of how to grow, cultivate, prepare, and roll my own joints for smoking. It was really bizarre.
You're like, I'll keep this.
Yeah, it was one of the strong points of the film.
The beginning.
Yes.
Well, as you said, it was an original non-musical film.
Yes.
Until it was turned into a play with music, kind of.
Yeah, there was a play in the 90s that you can still buy the rights to, but it is not Reefer Madness the musical.
No.
It is a separate entity, and it's a send-up still. It's meant to be a comedy.
Yeah, so towards, I guess, the
rights are available if you want them, listeners.
So it started off as a play. It then became a musical, which went off Broadway. Some new songs had been added along the way. Mm. And then they adapted the play that turned into a musical into another movie.
Yeah, it did a hairspray.
It did a hairspray.
It did do a hairspray, actually. Yeah, yeah. It did do a hairspray.
So it's very fun. There's lots of things in there that are good. There's lots of people who have been in it, like Kristen Bell and Neve Campbell and Alan Cumming.
The cast is stacked, and I'm not sure if these are people who the cast is more stacked now, and then when it was being produced in 2004 for release in 2005, maybe they were more accessible. But you watch it now. I mean, Kristen Bell's obviously blown up. Alan Cumming's kind of always been his own little odd, niche god.
Yes. I'm sure about Marijuana.
I'm in. But also Camp Musical Fun. Let's do it.
Yeah, true. He's very good.
And it was kind of the end of Neve Campbell's career. So
I think she's in the new Scream movie that's filming at the moment. Sorry to date the episode. I'm not sure if that's illegal.
No, it's fine.
Zane's giving me the red laser eyes. But yeah, I think she's involved in Scream 5, which we love.
We love.
I'm yet to see Scream 1
or 2.
Good movie.
3.
I can't remember much of 3. 4 is good. 4's fun. Because 4 is kind of it's very self-aware of what the Scream genre has become and is a send-up in a similar way that Reef of Madness is a send-up. See, look
full
at the button
circle.
On that.
Bam, 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 bam.
I'm a professional.
I got very excited because I read that in the Australian premiere production, Andy Cook was in it, who I got to see in Sweet Charity last year at the Powerhouse. He also has done King Kong and some fun things. So, it's always nice to see a familiar name on there as well as Barry Crocker.
There's been 2 Australian productions, haven't there? Have there been 2 Australian productions?
Maybe it's the 2008 Squabblogic production.
I mean,
that's
there you go.
Name.
It's a Squabblogic, right?
It is.
It's the name we can't get off. I shouldn't be saying this on a theatre podcast.
Now, the original film was kind of based on a true story.
Oh, can I talk to you about the original film? Because I've also got a conspiracy theory about it.
What?
So I'm very excited.
Crossover episode. What? Welcome to Elvis Lives a Conspiracy Theory.
Yeah, well,
theory
we may
podcast.
As well just cut this and we'll pop it over.
We'll put in an ad for Elvis Lives right now. But okay, so this was we're getting a vigorous head shake from our producer. I'm going to move along before I cop a slap. But in preparing for the episode, and before I saw the musical and I watched the movie, everyone, I'm sorry, I haven't actually seen the stage production.
It is hard often for us to see a musicale before we record.
It sometimes is. But the film is a lot of fun, the musical film, but it's based on this 1936/38. There is some contention about whether it was actually produced in 1936 or 38, but it was allegedly, and this is where we get into the conspiracy theory, but we'll get to it in a minute, allegedly produced by an unnamed church group, quote, under the title Tell Your Children.
Yes.
After production wrapped, it was bought by a producer by the name of Dwayne Esper. He recut the film and added in a lot of sort of very quick cuts of slightly more salacious imagery. So if you're watching the original film, you'll see some shots where it suddenly cuts down and a woman is adjusting her garter and that kind of thing. Yeah. While the original film does portray sex and drug use and that kind of thing, it's been amped up in the recut. And he distributed it as an exploitation film.
Yes.
And basically the reason how this sort of happened is at the time you couldn't have films showing sex, drug use and violence like they do in this original film, or really much at all. But they were able to escape censorship because they were selling it kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge as a moral guidance film.
Of course.
So it was very much a moral tale, and an education tool, which is why they could get away with distributing it, even though most people were just seeing it because it was outrageous and violent and highly sexual. It then kind of got lost to time after a few years. And in 1971, a man called Keith Straup, who's the founder of the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws, Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws, NORML, bought a print of Reefer Madness, or Tell Your Children, for $297. And then he started showing it at pro-marijuana festivals and also used the money by distributing it to college campuses to fund New Line Cinema, which was starting up at the time. So this film, this exploitation film, is actually part of the reason why I'm not sure if New Line is actually still around. They might have gotten eaten by Disney as well.
Probably.
At this point.
I think they've been eaten by Disney, as we all will be at some point, ladies and gentlemen.
Disney's hungry.
But it made quite a bit of money like that.
It did.
It became this cult classic. It became a stoner classic. We've spoken about those actually on a different podcast. Disney Debate.
There we go.
That's 3. How many more podcasts?
I was representing Fantasia, which is also secretly a bit of a stoner movie, and so is Alice in Wonderland. So there's this cult of film where people like to put them on and maybe have a bit of fun and have them on in the background. But it grew this cult classic. It made a lot of money. Interestingly, it is now open domain. I mean, it's free use. No one ever copyrighted it. What has happened is, I cannot remember which company. A company did a colorized version of it.
Mm-hmm.
They did that thing where you get a black and white film and you add color onto it. That version is not public domain. But the original black and white, you can do whatever you want.
The Technicolor version is not public domain.
It is not. It is not. But it has been turned into, like you said, it was turned into an LA musical in 1998. It won a bunch of awards at the LA Ovation Awards. And I learned that the LA Ovation Awards have like the same award for small production versus large production. So there's like best smaller musical and best larger musical. So this one, best smaller musical, while West Side Story won larger.
Wow.
So that's cool. We've learned about the LA Ovation Awards as well.
That's so fun.
The things you learn.
Musicals teach you so much, guys.
They teach us so much. But the fun little fact is, the factoid is, no one knows what this church group who funded the film was. No one knows really if they ever existed, and there is a little bit of a conspiracy theory that maybe they didn't ever, and it was part of the grift of it being, no, this is a church film that was funded by a church as a moral guidance, but maybe that was never the case at all, and it was just like, it was just made to be sleaze in the first place.
It's like, hey, this is made by a church, but pay very close attention to how you roll a joint.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like, oh yeah, which church? We don't need to get into the details because I could not find anywhere.
Look, Julie and I will go on a deep dive. You may see an episode on Elvis Lives pop up about Reefer Madness.
Do.
And we will try and get to the bottom of it. The film actually went through four titles before it became Reefer Madness. So it started as Tell Your Children. And that didn't, it didn't bring people in.
Have you seen the original?
No.
At the end, there's, an Uncle Sam moment where this character's like, and this could happen to your children or yours or... And he turns down the barrel of the camera and points at you, the viewer, and says... Or yours, and then bam, Tell Your Children pops up onto the screen.
And then when it's in 3D, the figure comes all the way up.
And offers you a joint in the cinema. But so that's where that title first came from.
So I think that was the original, and why there's like a two dates for the original movie is that it then was re-released in 1938 as The Burning Question. And then it became...
They are good, punny titles. Zane hates it.
It became then Dope Addict. Doped.
That's
youth,
not as good.
And
that's
Love
not as
Madness.
Good. Love Madness is kind of
love
ooh,
madness.
Oh, we love
I
a
mean,
bit of
love,
love
madness.
Love Madness.
I want to do it more.
I mean, I used to go visit Love Madness in Brisbane, but they closed that place down.
So he's like, nah, stop, quick. So then in 1947, it was then released again under Reefer Madness. But the original very first film in the 30s was based on a guy called Victor Licata who murdered his family with an axe.
Oh, yeah, great.
That happened.
So he was 20 at the time.
And it was because of marijuana.
And
it wasn't because of any other issues.
Is that the Amityville guy?
Maybe.
I'll Google it.
If Amityville Horror and Reefer Madness are
based
on
the same
story.
So he murdered his parents, his two brothers, and his sister, and the media were like, it was because he was smoking marijuana, this is what made this happen. When actually there was a lot of stuff going on for him
there
mentally.
May have been other contributing factors.
There may have been a bit of psychosis and a little bit of paranoid schizophrenia. But the media had gone so big in creating this event around the marijuana usage playing a part that they were like, why don't we write this movie about it?
Make a little movie about this. Oh my god, I didn't know any of that. That's amazing.
Yeah, crazy. 1930s, and here we are in 2020 talking about it.
Still talking about it. The legacy on that axe murderer.
Oh,
if only he knew.
I'm glad he doesn't.
I'm wrong. You're
wrong?
Ronald DeFeo Jr. was his name.
Well, do we have
shout out to Ronald.
how's jail and or death?
Before we move on, because it is a musical, how do we feel about the music in Reefer Madness?
Okay, so musical got developed by Showtime for cable TV. Came out in 2005.
Yes.
And it had some of the cast from New York and LA productions, I think, mixed, maybe. Yeah. It's got a great cast. Gastea, is it?
Yes.
Oh,
she's so
she's
funny.
The best in it. I'm putting that on the table.
Second City improv, Groundlings improv.
For those playing at home, she's Lindsay Lohan's mum in Mean Girls.
She is.
She plays a great agent on the, I'm completely blanking on her name, but there's a comedy show, Maria Bambich. Maria, she's a comedian. I'll have to look it up. I'll put it on the social medias.
She's
a fantastic comedy actress. She's great in it. But how do we feel about the music was the question before I derailed this.
The music. I think there's some really fun stuff in it. Yeah. And there's a big mix of your classic Broadway sounds with your gospel-y sounds in there, obviously, because they're sitting in a church sometimes.
I don't know if it was like a subliminal thing, but to me, some of it reminded me of Bat Boy without watching it. Like, I don't know. This just reminds me a little bit of Bat Boy, but that could have been a subliminal thing that
I was about to say, it has very a very similar vibe.
Yeah. And I didn't hate it at all. Like, I was listening to the cut, and I was like, I can listen to all of this. This is all fine.
It's all listenable.
Yeah.
I think the weird thing about this show is, and it's the type of musical we don't get much anymore, and definitely not recently, where everything's been either IP based or it's got one very big famous song, which I feel like Andrew Lloyd Webber did to musical theatre and We Will Never Escape It. Like, you got Memory. As soon as you were selling a show on there's that one song.
There is a YouTube clip or a video clip of him saying you just have to write one big hit.
You do.
I'm like,
and that's the thing.
Yeah, mate, we get it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the rest can be that bad.
No, and it can't, but it did and it was. But this show does not have a one big song.
It doesn't.
And it also doesn't have I suppose it is based on an IP, so maybe this started the trend. But it doesn't really have one of those big musical selling points. And to be honest, I don't love the music.
Okay.
It's fun. There's lots of fun stuff, but I think you could probably cut every song by a third and the show would be shorter, tighter, neater, and better. It's a long show.
There
but
are
you're not
some
mad about
old,
it either, though,
like,
are you?
I'm going to say the orgy song goes on too long.
Oh,
I skipped that halfway through.
Yeah. I realized that it was longer than 3 minutes. I was like, oh,
my God. I really like the opening.
The opening down on the old Five and Dime, which is like your little small town, like country song.
I got sick of that. I liked the Act One finale. Is it Mary Lane, Mary Jane?
Yeah.
That's a fun song. But I feel like this is a musical that wasn't written to have great music in it. It's not the point.
No.
The point of the show is to be funny, and I think the risk because of the music is kind of hit and misses is unless you have really good comedic performers, I think the show would be terrible.
It is interesting. I do find, and I think because I was listening to the movie soundtrack,
which is
great. I was listening to Ellen Cumming and Kristen Bell and all of those fantastic comedic actors, I found the comedy did come through in a lot of
it really does.
The comedic songs. So
I
think
the stuff is great
easier.
And the stuff reprise is great. Go Anna.
Go Anna.
Like, she's great.
I think it's just like I'm not offended by listening to any of it. Like, we can keep going. It's fine.
Oh, none of it's bad.
You know, like,
but
it's fine.
None of it, like, I didn't get anything stuck in my head later. I wasn't like, I want to go listen to Reefer Madness again. No. But the show isn't about selling you the songs.
No.
It's about selling you the show.
Yes. And as producer Zane just pointed out in a very sneaky message, it is like a Starkid musical in that sense.
That's a really good analogy.
It is. I mean, there are definitely songs in Starkid shows that you pick out, or at least I pick out. Lonely Pew will be that song for me because I'm like, I can sing that as an audition song. That's
Lonely
it.
Pew's
taking
cute.
It.
It was very cute. I liked Romeo and Juliet too, actually.
Yeah.
But again, and that's good because it's funny because the performance is so good. Like, even the stuff, there's a rape joke in the stuff. And you watch the film and it's delivered by one of the best living female comedians. Best living comedians, I should say. Yeah. We still do that with comedians. Well, I still do, where I really break it up by gender. Cancel me, ladies and gentlemen.
Women are allowed to be funny, but we have to hold a license
you
for
do.
It.
She is, do you have yours?
On me?
This is a formal check.
Oh,
this is a sting. This whole podcast is a setup at this moment.
Sit for me, guys. I see you.
But the way that Anna Gasteya, I think it's Gasteya, I actually don't know how to say
it. I think it's very close.
If it's
delivers it. You laugh and then you're like, oh, I just laughed at that joke.
Yeah.
And I think it's very, and the performers in, like you were saying, the performers in the movie are so good.
So good.
That they hit all the laughs all the time and it's a riot.
Yeah.
I would worry about seeing this if there was not a confident comedic cast.
Well,
because
guys,
if the jokes don't land, the songs aren't good enough to carry the show.
Challenge put out there to all of you. let's see. Well, let's end it there and talk about lessons. I think it's a good thing to go on to lessons learnt in this particular moment.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry.
Never be sorry, Patrick Aiken. Never be sorry.
I just feel like I was harsh.
You're not harsh.
Okay, good.
You're allowed an opinion.
It's
that's
nice
on
that
the show.
I'm not the harshest critic for once.
No.
Yeah, true. You are really rough on shows, actually.
Yeah, musicals the worst.
You body them.
Very rarely does someone bring a show in that they don't like to talk about.
It's
so
nice.
I think
it's refreshing.
Fun.
Okay, I should say for context, I watched this with a friend. We had a great time. We had a wonderful time. But I suppose the music is not the strong point of this musical, which is odd. The strong point is it's
but I guess
a send-up.
It started
and it's a send-up of musical theatre, so it's not trying to write brilliant music. It's trying trying to make fun of musical
theatre. I also
theater.
Don't think it's a huge failure on that part either. Like, it's no. still musical theatre that you're like, yeah.
Oh, it's still fun. You get, like, hot Jesus, yeah. which is one of my favourite tropes in theatre, is some ridiculously buff Jesus coming out and being like, we are all just here to sex, like, to sexually well, objectify me, the son yeah. of God. Like, it's really fun.
Yeah.
But you, when talking about this show, you don't go, oh, I love that song. Maybe that's a lesson learned. A show can be good without sort of all this hyperfixation on who the fantastic composer is and what the mm-hmm. best song is. You can go to a show and watch it for the whole of yes. it.
And you probably should.
And yeah. for me, as someone who is, in terms of the levels of where you put your things, I'm an actor first. So yeah. for me, this show is great because the storytelling comes first.
No, so, aren't you a dancer first?
Oh, I am a dancer yeah, first, no, actually. No,
you don't need to be humble.
Sorry, guys.
We met at dance school. We're both prime dancers.
Definitely. That's definitely the truth that
Ballet
we're telling
Academy.
Academy. They can't see our face as we... lie to them.
Don't worry, guys. I think they've got it. I think they're caught up on that.
So for me, this show is... I often feel like the storytelling is often put to the side or last to give way to amazing voices, amazing dancers. And yeah. I think for me, that lesson then of being like, no, there are shows out there that need that. Mm. They need to have the acting be the focus. It happens mostly in parody musicals.
This is a show where actors shine.
Yes.
And I feel like this show reminds you to, like, comedy shows are good, and like comedy films have died. They don't really exist yeah. anymore. But comedy musicals are actually fantastic, and comedy is one of those weird things that ages very quickly as well. But yeah, I don't know. It really made me appreciate the sort of varied genre of comedy musicals that exist, because, again, like, what's the big recent comedy musical that everyone loved?
Mormon?
That's a long time
ago. Like, in terms
though,
of
right?
very obviously just comedy.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Is it Mormon?
Gentleman's Guide?
Maybe Gentleman's Guide. Maybe.
But it didn't have. Gentleman's Guide did not have the same legacy.
It's not like gag after gag after gag.
Yeah,
no,
and I suppose Reefer Madness didn't really. It's still, even the movie musical is a cult sort of following. But yeah, Gentleman's Guide did well.
Yeah.
But it's sad because musical comedy, I think, one, is hardest on actors because yeah. it's really hard to do and it shows an amazing amount of talent.
But it's so much more fun.
So fun. So maybe that's the lesson is, you know, we need some more comedies.
Like, especially after 2020. Let's just pump out the comedies, guys. I do not want one musical about your experience of 2020. I don't want it. I don't need it. I will complain the entire
there will be,
in the trash.
Well, I mean, actually, I mean, the world has pivoted away. I don't know if we've got a quick Broadway news segment. Ratatouille, the TikTok musical.
Oh my goodness.
See, there's a musical comedy that's happening. Disney is going to track down every one of those children and sue them and take all of their money for the rest of their lives.
Yeah,
and they deserve it.
They do.
Because they touch Disney's property. We will all be consumed by Disney, ladies and gentlemen.
So
but it's really great. And it's fun.
I don't even have TikTok and I've seen it.
Oh,
so.
No, neither do I. It ended up on Instagram.
Yes.
It's everywhere.
I'll send you in bulk just all the bits of the music that are complete.
Yes.
Put them on the socials when this episode goes up. We can all share in
I
the joy.
Could, or
of,
Disney might eat us.
Yeah, Disney might kill us,
actually.
Actually
learned. Is that TikTok is the place for new musical
TikTok
comedy.
Bleak lesson, but
no,
probably
it's really
true.
Sad, but
actually,
it's very true.
A great comedy musical that didn't get as... It did well, but not as well as everyone wanted it to, Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day,
it's got a sad, poignant ending, but the music is great and it's another good comedy musical, but again, not as appreciated as it should be. I think the lesson is we all need to rally around comedy theatre and especially comedy musicals because they're great and they're fun.
Maybe don't take yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
Maybe your theatre
I'm taking comedy very seriously.
No. Comedy. Take that seriously.
Yeah.
But yourself.
But in terms of yourself and yourself as a theatre critique.
Yeah.
Maybe just... Calm down.
Maybe it's all right to have a laugh.
Oh my goodness, we didn't do a bad review with Julie.
We didn't.
What's
I just
a bad review with Julie?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Is this
sorry.
A new segment?
Yeah.
I don't
mean,
know
that's
that.
Just you.
That's
it is.
Me. That's
okay. You haven't had a bad review with Julie.
The lesson
I have, but
I
it was
learned.
Under different circumstances.
It's funny because it's true.
I was making a joke. We'll talk about that after the show.
I've learned that I don't know the format of this show, even though we've been doing
do
it for
backwards?
3.5 years.
I do. Look, I do have a bad review. It's not about the musical, but it is quite titillating.
What is it?
It made me giggle. This is a critical reception of the original film.
Ah.
Or maybe it's not the original film. It doesn't say which one it's actually talking
probably
about.
Probably is. There's only like one cut that really survived.
Well, this is the Los Angeles Times has claimed that Reefer Madness was the first film that a generation embraced as the worst. Leonard Martin has called it the granddaddy of all worst movies. Las Vegas City Life named it the worst ever, runner-up to Plan 9 from Outer Space. And AMC described it as one of the worst movies ever made.
But this is playing into that, like, people who love bad
it's
movies.
It's like The Room.
It's The Room before The Room.
Yeah.
And this is mainly a one-room film as well. So maybe this is the
room. Maybe this is.
Pre-room room.
The Room Beginnings?
I don't know why I was so stoned by that.
The Room the Musical. Surely someone's tried it.
It's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen.
We just made $1 billion and threw it away.
Oh, dear.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa, the ballad? Yeah. There are ideas here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening at home, patent pending. Don't touch it. It's ours. Get out. Keep your dirty paws off this fantastic idea that we definitely have the rights to.
Oh, God. Any other lessons we've learned before I project our vomit across the table?
We are going to be millionaires.
Alan Cumming remains one of the greatest comedic performers of stage and screen.
We will continue to relearn that lesson, I think, every time he comes up in conversation, because he is phenomenal.
Honestly, I hope we do. Don't do the reefer is the main lesson, isn't it?
Or do the reason.
I mean, I think the film's pretty clear.
Is it? Because it taught you how, so.
I mean, but like maybe it's just so like when I see it happening, I know how to avoid it.
Oh, okay.
But maybe I should practice just to be certain.
Just in
like,
case.
You know, you don't want to make any. It's like, you know, it's like when you're cutting like meats with a big knife. You need to really make sure you know what you're doing because you don't want to get anyone hurt.
That's correct. Fair.
So like I think the lesson is, ladies and gentlemen, we should all practice to make sure we know that we're never going to do it.
And I just need to remind everyone that we are joking and that we're not advocating any particular life choice, but you can do whatever you want.
Are you allowed to advocate for illegal activities on a podcast? Zane's giving me a yes.
I mean, it's not illegal in all the places this podcast is listening.
I think it's illegal to say that people should hurt people.
Quick, play music!
I don't know. We should look into this. What else could I maybe encourage our
just play the violent, music, lust, Zane. Play the music! Just before we're completely cancelled, we're going to Dreamcast Reefer Madness.
Oh boy, I forgot about this.
I'm so sorry. Do you know what though? I really love Kristen Bell, so I want to keep her in, and Miranda's not here.
Miranda can't tell you what to do.
So I'm going to keep
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell.
Are we allowed to
Jane.
Keep people now?
No,
but Miranda's not here.
Miranda's not here, so we do what we want.
So we do what we want.
She's not going to hear this.
No.
We'll find out if she does. Hey, Miranda.
I'm keeping Kristen Bell in as Mary Jane.
I'm forgetting her name. It's
not she's called Mary Jane.
Can someone please pull the name of the character played by Anna Gasteyer? Because that's a great, like, just, comedian character. But I want to put Kristen Chenoweth in it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be really funny. Having that character be absolutely tiny.
Okay, half an hour into the episode.
And I was like, that's why she's called Mary Jane.
No, she's called Mary Lane.
Oh, well, close.
But there's a song Mary... But she was called Mary Lane in the original film.
Before that Monica came out. May.
Okay, so who's the... I don't know. Lady.
Sally?
Sally. I would cast you as Sally. Sorry, not May. You're Sally.
And she is...
Julie is looking at me as if she's...
the same character, but just...
Different
name. We got
name.
The name wrong.
Yeah,
Slutty
so,
Sally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're Slutty Sally, not Slutty May. I would cast someone... Maybe Chenoweth as May would be really funny.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and again, it's kind of hard because that's a character where a lot of the physical comedy, she gets repeatedly slapped very hard to the ground. But...
She's so tiny.
So maybe it would work because she's a very good comedic actress.
She is. She's very clever.
But I feel like we overcast Chenoweth. So does anyone else have
we
any other ideas?
We haven't actually cast her in quite a while.
Okay. I'm actually
maybe
casting...
Maybe that's because we saw The Holiday.
Casting...
We don't want to anymore.
Oh, that was awful.
The what?
The Holiday.
Oh, boy.
The Holiday.
Don't, guys. You don't need it. You don't want it.
We'll
no
talk
one
about it after,
for
the
it.
Pod, after the pod.
However, so, speaking of her, she will get cast in maybe the next week or the coming weeks.
What about the like the narrator Alan Cumming character? Because it's hard to see Alan Cumming do a role and then imagine anyone else in it.
Can we keep Alan Cumming?
I mean, I'm not going to stop you from keeping Alan Cumming.
Alan Cumming.
What I'm going to say is keep him coming.
Megan Mullally.
Megan Mullally would be
producer
amazing.
Producer Zane says Megan Mullally.
She would be good fun.
She would be great.
She would be good fun.
I'm going to put Darren Criss in the role of Jimmy because why not?
Do you mean Billy?
Jimmy?
Is it Jimmy in the...
Because
in the original film, there's two boys and one boy runs over someone in the street and then the other boy is the main one who loves Mary Lane.
Oh,
and they
boy.
Combine them in the musical and I've forgotten which name they kept.
They kept Jimmy.
Yeah, Darren Criss looks like him.
He looks like a
yeah, 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 no, that's good. I'll keep that. Or who's that fellow who's in Newsies who everyone is Jeremy very thirsty Jordan. For? He'd be great.
Yes.
He's got that look as well.
He's that fellow.
And so you're keeping Kristen Bell?
I'm keeping Kristen Bell.
I'd like Hunter Parrish.
Hunter Parrish.
Just personally or in the show?
Both.
There we are.
Yeah. Zac Efron.
Zac Efron would be great. Jesus.
No. Zac Efron would be great as the drug dealer.
And Jesus.
The guy who May's abusive, violent partner. I think if you give him a dirty moustache and a goatee, he actually could play into that. This is one where I will advocate for the casting of Zac Efron in that role because I think it would be a fun little subversion.
He can be the stunt.
Also, it's a terrible drug ring. They just keep giving away pot for free.
Ugh.
Like literally the whole time, they're just like, have some more. Especially in the original film, they never take money off anyone. They keep giving all these teenagers free drugs. And it's like, it's like their plan is like, one, we get the pot. Two, we give it to the kids. Three, we'll work on that. Four, profit. It's like, what's happening in step three?
It's all about the people knowing that they're there.
And I think step three is actually
that's
a very
marketing.
Real horrible thing of
just
drug
a little taste.
Yeah. Well, apparently that's what they actually do, so we probably shouldn't be joking about this.
Guys, all
anyone else who want to cast? So we've got Alan Cumming, we've got Kristen Chenoweth, we've got Zac Efron, we've got
Jeremy Jordan Darren Criss, we've got Kristen Bell. Who's going to play Sally?
Who's going to play Jesus?
I think Zac Efron can double.
I don't want any more.
What I do.
Hear me out.
No, what about someone who's actually attractive for Jesus? Let's try that.
Producer Zane says Alan Cumming.
No, he's already cast and he's busy.
Who do I find attractive?
Okay, I want to get the opposite of attractive.
The opposite of attractive?
Oh, you want to play against type?
Like, I think
okay. Now, this is not an unattractive man because I recently saw him in Romancing the Stone and he's oddly kind of attractive.
I mean, that was a while ago.
Danny DeVito as Jesus.
Again, I think you're just guessing the entire cast for what's happening next week in my musicals.
Okay, I'm really excited. But yeah, maybe Danny DeVito is Jesus.
Maybe Danny DeVito is Jesus.
You could do as a talk song.
This is your dream cast, Patrick. You can cast whoever you like.
I'm not mad about Danny DeVito. Dressed as the penguin, dressed as Jesus.
Oh God, no!
I'm into it.
No,
that's a bold move.
We've gone too far.
We'll take that as a producer's note, shall we? On this production, but like, there's a lot of this is a very sort of ensemble centric show. You just get in everyone you like,
pretty much.
Bring in all your favorite comedic actors, ladies and gentlemen. If we didn't cast them as a lead, you can cast them as one of the ensemble. They can be a swing.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's going to be great.
Or you just have a different cast every night for your 2 week run. You know,
we can afford that, right?
Of course,
we've got the money for
volunteering their time.
Oh, they are great.
We'll have all that. Yeah. Sweet.
It's a charity show.
It's a charity. It's a fundraiser. Let's move on to top five.
Oh, top five already.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Resume.
Format is very fast.
I've got to rewind. I know who Jesus is. It's Jack Black. Let's move on.
Jack Black.
Yeah, see? Okay, this is a bold take and everyone just don't say anything. There was a video that came out of Jack Black doing the wet ass pussy dance. Yeah. Am I allowed to say that?
You are now.
Hot take. It's kind of hot. Anyway, let's move on.
He's done very well.
He's so confident and charming that he does stuff and you're like, oh, actually you are kind of, Jack Black's kind of hot.
Because we know that he knows that he's joking.
And he's also a good guy, so you're just like, you're fun, and he's Jack Black's kind of hot. Anyway, let's move on. He's Jesus.
We'll think about that later.
Top five musicals about marijuana.
Yeah, it's up there.
Yep. Great. Any other
Are there others? There's others with like marijuana
about
scenes.
Marijuana? Probably not.
Probably not yet. Sure, there will be more. What are the top five? Top five comedy cult classics?
Okay, look. Maybe cult classics, because comedy cult classics, you got Rocky Horror.
Mm-hmm.
What else? For cult classic comedies in musical theatre. Like we put it.
Evil Dead?
Yeah, Evil Dead would be on the list.
Horrible sing-along bar.
I feel like that was a cult classic, but the cult died off.
Yeah.
The cult either died off or everyone's like, hey, that's cool. And then it's just not cult anymore.
Yeah, true. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's on the list. I think it's on the list for that.
Great.
Is it top five Alan Cumming musical performances?
Oh, boy.
I know it's in a movie, so it's not stage.
He can do whatever he wants.
Did he do it on stage? Producer Zane is throwing the book at us.
Because
he's very good in everything. But he is
very good in everything.
Cabaret, obviously, which is probably the top.
Yes, and I saw him in Cabaret.
Oh,
get out. Yeah.
He was amazing.
I'm sorry. Sorry, listeners, but we are actually angry about this.
They're very angry.
He's very funny in this, though. Like, even if you're just thinking about, not the shows, but
cabaret.
Like... He is actually kind of funny in Cabaret, which is the disturbing thing. But this performance by itself, if you're just looking at performances, some of the jokes he does, some of the physical work he does is absolutely brilliant. Mm, yeah. So I'm going to put
it on
there.
Let's put it on
there. Putting it on there.
Put it on there. Top five musicals without a hit number?
Yeah, there is no hit
song.
I'll take it. What are there? Okay, this is actually a question I wanted to ask. Are there other musicals that you can think of like this? Where there's songs in it, yeah, the songs are fine. The songs aren't bad. It's a good show, but the songs aren't really what you care about.
Not ones that are a good show, but I can rattle off quite a few we've covered have a hit that are terrible.
For me, I'm like Pippin.
I can't tell you a song from Pippin.
And the... Oh no, Anastasia's Journey to the Past.
And then I was thinking like Jekyll Hyde, but Jekyll Hyde has like Confrontation is very famous and everyone likes Bring On the Men.
Ooh. Oh yeah, that was done all the time.
Yeah, so it's not really that, but there aren't a lot of musicals like this. So I really wanted to ask you if you could think of, and maybe listeners at home, send us an email.
Drowsy Chaperone doesn't really have a hit.
No, it doesn't. Show Off's just a really good song.
It's just we know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even then...
I put Drowsy Chaperone on that list of musicals that don't have a big standout number.
Yeah.
I think I want more musicals like this.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it feels like the whole musical is geared up just to get you through the one song, Cats.
We don't talk about Cats on this podcast anymore.
Don't we?
Patrick,
I loved the movie.
Oh.
It was terrible, but God, it was like an intense
experience. It was a good time.
It was
a good time.
Yeah.
We had fun. And if you want to hear our reactions to the movie, you can listen to our episode from last Christmas.
Oh.
When the movie came out, we went and saw a screening of it with some listeners.
I've just outed that I didn't listen to that episode. Sorry.
That's
I think it's top
Not
five
okay.
Like big ensemble shows.
Yes.
Especially for comedic performances. So like, I think this would be really good if you've got like, because you can put this show on cheap. I think it's a really good community theatre production because there's a big cast. Everyone, like you two leads have a couple of songs, but everyone else has like one or two songs.
Yeah.
And it's mainly about the performances as well because, and this isn't any shade on community theatre, as someone who has done community theatre and has been this performer, sometimes the performers aren't the best singers and that's okay. And this is a show where you don't have to do, I mean, some of the characters do, but a lot of the songs are manageable for people who can sing.
Yeah.
And it's all about the performance and the fun and the energy and the delivery. So I think it might be like top five community theatre shows.
Great.
It's got a great age mix, a great big cast.
But you do really rely on those community theatre performers. They don't necessarily have to sing, but they really have to.
Oh, they got
to
act. You got to act.
And I find that harder to find in community theatre.
Really? This is another Julie review of Patrick.
No, we'll talk about that one later.
Okay, well then we'll have to come back to this. I don't have any other top fives.
No, I really don't have like.
It's not, and again, people love this show. It's not really a top five show. It's a fun show. People have seen it. People like it. You have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really like the standout musical you think of first for many things.
That's
but
fair.
It is its own cult little object that people, you know, really love and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not prototypical of musical theatre in many ways.
Say it once, say it twice, say it a million times on this podcast. I didn't hate it.
No.
And that in itself means that it has done a very good job because Julie hates most shows.
It's not on the bottom five.
No. That's it. Big bottom five.
That's actually a bottom 500 for Julie. But that's fine. We'll get through all the musicals at some point and maybe we'll get to Julie's personal top 10.
We've done them.
Oh, guys, anything else to add about Reefer Madness?
Nothing.
I just think it's a really interesting show because it's not trying to be a good musical. It's trying to be a good show, and because of that, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
We've ragged on the music a lot, and the music isn't bad at all, but it's weird because there aren't standouts. It's just a good fun show, and it's kind of exciting and lovely to see a show that's more interested in being a show than selling a CD or doing all of that any extra stuff. It's there to exist for you to have fun with and for the cast to also have a lot of fun, and there's something lovely about that, and that's, I haven't really been able to communicate that this well coming on, but that's what I really like about this show.
Yeah.
Is that it exists for fun and for enjoyment.
And the reason made musical, for money. No, and the reason musical theatre exists is to, I think, have that sense when you go to see a show or you take part in a show.
No, it's to sell merchandise.
Oh, sorry. I forgot.
What are you talking about,
money.
KB?
Oh.
Do you like this wicked mug? This cat's bag?
Oh, wow.
This phantom mask?
You brought so much stuff with
oh,
you
I've
today.
Got props.
I didn't want to ask about the mask, just yeah. in case it was
I've got
like
this Dear Evan
a medical thing.
I've got this Dear Evan Hansen replica suicide note.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I actually thought that you were about to say cast.
Me too.
Cast would have been a lot lighter. Yeah, a lot lighter. We've already spoken about Dear Evan Hansen, haven't we?
We have. Interesting. Right in the top four episodes yeah. of 3.5 years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's one of my personal favourites. Now, we have plugged not only this podcast, Elvis Lives, and Disney vs. Disney.
Great podcast.
This episode, but is there anywhere else our listeners can hear your voice?
No, I have no achievements, and I think they've heard enough this episode, so I don't have anything to plug except maybe, you know, give your nan a call.
Oh,
or,
that's
you know,
lovely.
Maybe say something nice to your mum just out of the blue. Just be like, hey, mum, I really like, lie to her. Like, if she's, like, if it's not a great day, be like, mum, your hair looks nice, and if it doesn't, just run with it, unless she's going out, in which case, give her a hand.
Or unless she's bald.
But just say, oh, yeah, true. Just say, I don't know, say something really nice to your mum or dad. Maybe just
really nice.
Maybe just take the time to do something to make someone else feel nice, I reckon, is what I want to plug.
Oh, Patrick Aiken, we need to have you back more often.
Well, no, I'm trying to balance it out because I'm about to go do unspeakable acts of evil, so we're just trying to balance out the universe.
No! All right, well, before we get into that, I'm going to tell you where you can find us. You can find us on Instagram at Elvis Lives Pug. No, wrong.
Different podcast. She's on autopilot.
I'm on autopilot.
KB took the assignment for this episode very seriously, it seems. She's wearing a little green dress, and she watched the opening to Reefer Madness, the 1936 film as well, and took those instructions on board.
Oh, goodness. Do you know what? I've done it on Elvis too, so let's balance it out. You can find us at Musicals Teach Me on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook at Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. You can also email us at musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com.
Oh my goodness. And please
gracious.
Do send an email. We love reading them. I don't actually get to read them, but I know that it is really fun when they come in because I've heard some stories. I've heard some
there's
wild
some,
stories.
There's some fun emails.
It's great
there.
Emails that come through. I wish we could, like, it's confidential, obviously.
So, but look, maybe one day we'll read an email on
a mailbag episode.
A mail. That's the whole episode. Just us.
That would
reading
be so much
emails.
Fun. If you want a question answered on the upcoming mailbag episode, please send it to Musicals Teach Me Podcast. It's going to be really exciting.
Oh, and with that, everybody, we will wrap this one up because I'm not sure where we'll go otherwise. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Stevie. Want to skydive into this snake-infested cactus patch without parachutes?
Isn't that dangerous?
We have literally no way of knowing. Wait, are those listeners?
Hi, I'm Stephen Denham.
And I'm Matthew Caffo. We're the hosts of Let's Get Dangerous,
a podcast about dangerous activities
and whether or not you should do them.
Available wherever you get your podcasts.
I get mine from an electrical socket.
Wait, what?
I pull them out with this fork.
Get in my ears, WTF!
That's it. I'm calling your mum.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.